On this episode of Bite Sized, we are watching and discussing the 30th scene of the movie Twilight. For those of you watching along at home, that is from 3734 to 3824. And now, on to the episode. Hello, welcome back everyone to yet another episode of Bite Sized, or welcome front, I guess, if this is your first time. I don't know what the opposite of welcome back is. My name is Ben Abear. I'm the host of this here show. Here's what's going on. I am watching the movie Twilight one scene at a time. That means I send my guest anywhere from about 30 seconds to 3 minutes of the movie Twilight, and we talk about it with little to no context added. It's a good time, I think, but then again, I host this show. I would say that, wouldn't I? Speaking of guests, joining me today is a podcaster in her own right. She is one half of the Fork and L podcast. It sounds wrong when I say it. It'll sound right when you say it, though. Laura Griffiths,
hello.
Welcome to Bite Size.
Hi, Ben. Thanks so much for having me today. I'm really excited to chat to you. And that sounded not too bad, actually. I think it probably sounds worse with my very northern British accent of fucking hell.
Yeah, so. How do you say that? That sounds so much better. I have been genuinely wondering since we last spoke is if I were to say the name of your podcast, should I say Fork and L? In sort of a British accent, or should I commit to the fork and hell with the H as I would as an American? I don't know. It's your show. You tell me.
I think we go without the H. We have the little, do we have the apostrophe before? We have the apostrophe.
Yeah, I think you do have the apostrophe in Spotify. So. You've got an apostrophe. I've got a hyphen in mine. We love our punctuation around here.
Annoying podcasters and their punctuation.
Yes, making it harder for listeners to find our show. Laura, I'm going to start this interview off the way I start every interview on the show. That is by asking you, Laura Griffiths, what is your history with the Twilight franchise?
I'm very happy that the clip you've selected today actually leans into my journey into Twilight because...
Yes, you sent me an email that I did not want to respond to because I wanted to save it for the show, but I'm very curious as to where this is going.
I don't remember ever hearing about Twilight, the books or anything, and it was Paramore that really got me into the series. So my sister and I was 17 when the first movie came out. So I was in sixth form college and my sister and I were absolutely obsessed with Paramore, more specifically Hayley Williams, would do whatever Hayley Williams did, and including all the Hercules. And we knew there was a Paramore song on the film, so that's the only reason why I went to see Twilight in the first place.
That's incredible. You're not the first non-American I've had on my show. I've briefly talked with a past guest about what Twilight was like in Australia. But I guess, my next question is, what was Twilight fandom like in the UK? I guess not that big if you had to come to it in the maybe the most indirect way I've ever heard.
It's funny because so Vic, our Fork and L co-host, she had a very different experience and got into it via the books first. So there definitely was something. It just didn't reach my school. There were no kids talking about it at school. We didn't have it in the library, not that I knew of. And then I just remember when the film came out, it just becoming this big thing, because even watching that first film on the cinema, it was an empty cinema screen. There was my sister and I, maybe a handful of other people. By the time it got to New Moon, well, I got the two last tickets at the cinema screen, and for that, my friend and I were sat with our necks like stretched over watching it from the front row. So it completely changed in that time. But I think maybe it was building from the book scene, but I just didn't see any of that in my school or in my college afterwards. So I think it was there, it just didn't really reach me. But as soon as that first film happened and I think everybody fell in love with Robert Pattinson, I think that's when it just went
for sure.
Huge.
Yeah. Were you at least familiar with Robert Pattinson before all this? Like,
do you know what? I was, and it's really embarrassing because I really liked him in Harry Potter.
Sure.
And I just remember, because I was so into Paramore at the time, when MySpace was still a thing, they had kind of like a MySpace artist on artist interviews, a bit like Rolling Stones artist on artist, and they got Robert Pattinson and Hayley Williams having a chat on MySpace Music.
Wow.
What's going on? This is Hayley Williams from Paramore. I'm hanging out with Robert Pattinson, and you're watching MySpace's Artist on Artist. We're going to talk about the Twilight film, so thanks for hanging out with us. How did you get involved with this movie?
I was just messing around in London.
Yeah.
I was doing music last year. I was going to give up acting, and then...
Wow.
And then, you know, guess the end of the year and you got no money.
Oh, my God. So I guess I'll do this audition. I don't want to be bothered with it, but you did it anyways.
That's How did you get involved with it?
I read the books and I really loved them, and someone told me they were making the films, and I just was really psyched about it. I love movies, and I especially love film adaptations of books, so.
I was so jealous of both sides of that table in that moment. But yeah, that was really what I remember just being obsessed with at the time. I guess both of them, really.
That's incredible. Did you live in a small town around this time? Like, how did you miss out on Twilight, except you and apparently everyone else yeah. when you lived in the theater was empty?
Yeah.
How did you not realize this was going on?
My town, I guess, is small-ish, but not really. Not when you think of a town like Forks.
Roughly, what population size are we talking?
Oh, I have no idea. But put it this way, I went to see it in the cinema in Liverpool, which is a massive city. So it would have very much hit that space at the time. And I don't know whether it was just because we went like a week after the open or something, but from everything else I've heard from other people, it seemed to build and build rather than get quieter at the cinema. So I don't really know why it kind of bypassed us, but I just know as soon as that came out, that's just when it really started. Mm-hmm. And I had a few friends in sixth form then who did get into Twilight, but it was very quick, the sort of aftermath of, oh, you like Twilight, that's not very cool. So I remember that attitude coming in quite quickly after the major success of that first film.
Yeah, that was kind of my next question leading into that. You discover Twilight through Paramore, as most people did, I guess. Did you then bring it back to your school like, guys, you won't believe what I just saw?
Do you know what? I don't think I necessarily brought it back, but I will say I don't think I recognized that it was uncool.
Well, you were the only one who knew about it, apparently.
Well, obviously, my band in my back pocket is what Twilight was to me.
Uh-huh.
I went to see it and I thought, wow, this is so different from anything else I'd ever seen. And I wasn't really into fantasy stuff, and I think it didn't really feel like a proper fantasy film at the time, and because of the whole, you know, the look of it and everything, it felt very much like I'd been to see an indie film.
What about the look makes you say that?
Am I going to do the blue klaxon far too soon?
No, you're absolutely not. Yeah, Laura Griffiths, the movie Twilight is very blue in a way that mainstream cinema was not and still is not. It didn't really start a trend there, but yes, thank you. Thank you for seeming slightly afraid of the blue bell there. Where were we?
Whether I brought the Twilight back to my sixth form college.
Sixth form, for my American listeners, what age roughly is that?
16 to 18. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect Twilight.
Exactly.
Age. Just the prime place to fall in love with
it.
Yeah. So then did you track down the books? Did you get other people to come watch it? How did it grow from there?
Yeah, so I think from that I was just talking to like my few like, sort of like girlfriends at college, and we sort of got into it then. I remember us buying each other stuff for Christmas. We would have been like Edward calendars and like charm bracelets and things like that. You know, we were into that stuff, but I read some of the books and the thing is, my interest, even though I carried on watching the films, I felt like my interest kind of waned, which I have heard other people say, and even on this podcast, I've heard other people sort of say the same thing. But I still continued going to the cinema to watch them. And like I said, I remember going to that second one. It was just a whole different atmosphere. People shouting and cheering, especially for that last scene. And it did kind of carry on throughout the rest of it. But it wasn't something that really carried on after the films, I don't think. I think that while we all still kind of quietly liked it, it wasn't really something that we talked about. And then again, I guess like a lot of other people, it was coming back to it in the last couple of years. It has really sort of re-sparked that interest. So no, I guess it still wasn't really a big thing. I just had a small group of people. And maybe it was one of those things where other people did like it, but because it wasn't very cool to like Twilight, people just weren't really talking about it. You know, you couldn't really have a backpack on with a picture of Edward on it. Wouldn't have been very cool to do that.
Was this so and maybe this is a strange question to ask, but I'm wondering what other exposure to American media did you have? And I guess I'll just get to the direct question. Was Twilight, did it shape your view of what life and specifically high school was like in America?
I think I'd grown up on so many like American teen movies that I already very much had an idea.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with me saying that I wasn't really into like the fantasy of it all. Like before that, all of my stuff was either like what I'll call like girly movies, chick flick sort of films before. That very much like American teen stuff is what I sort of gravitated towards. So I think I had seen the typical high school stuff.
Okay.
But what was quite nice about Twilight is that it doesn't play into that too much. I don't think I quite like that there's a lot of like very natural sort of teen moments in this film. So it did feel a little bit different compared to that. So I don't know whether it helped shape it anymore, but it certainly, I think, gave a different sort of view on it.
You say your interest in Twilight waned, mm-hmm. and yet you yourself host a Twilight podcast. So it didn't wane all that much, or it waned and then waxed again.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
So it was actually because of another podcast, because there's so many Twilight podcasts.
Uh-huh.
My interest had kind of like fallen by the wayside, and I feel like a lot of people got back into it around 2020 as a comfort film, but that didn't really happen for me. It was more early 2022 when I first saw Ashley Green's Twilight Effect podcast.
Yes.
And I just happened across it one day on YouTube. I was like, oh my gosh, that's Carlisle on a podcast. This is so exciting.
Uh-huh.
I think it was also the fact that I was getting this Twilight content, but it was also during a lot of the heavy promotion around the Batman movie. So there was a lot Robert Pattinson content out around the same time. So I think that all mm-hmm. those things combined just kind of made me really just go back into it and, you know, remember why I really liked it. And I think having a sort of, Vic and I have talked about this a lot on the podcast, but having that more, I'm in my 30s now, more grown up mindset, you know, you don't care as much if people think what you like is cheesy or silly or whatever. And I think just enjoying it for what it actually is and not being, embarrassed about it. And the reason why we started the podcast is because Vic and I were only really, I'd say, Twitter acquaintances. We were friends on Twitter because mm-hmm. we're both obsessed with Lara Croft and Tomb Raider.
Okay.
Yes, that's another thing. That's another podcast for another day.
Laura, we've spoken now between this recording session and our previous brief meeting for about 25 minutes, and I'm fascinated by the very specific pop culture interests that you have, Laura Croft and Paramore, and the way that it somehow all brings you back to Twilight.
Those are the various quadrants of my brain. So, yeah.
So you find someone on Twitter who loves Tomb Raider as much as you do, and naturally say, we must start a Twilight podcast.
It's pretty much. We were kind of friends because of that, again, online friends. And then I posted that I'd been listening to the Twilight Effect podcast. And Vic replied and just sort of said, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we did a podcast about this? And I didn't take it seriously because we'd never actually had a full-on conversation. But I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to do this the first time I've ever done it. I'm going to go into somebody's DMs. I'm going to ask, would you like a conversation with me?
Uh-huh.
So I just messaged Vic and I just said, hey, do you want to get on a Zoom and geek out about Twilight?
Yeah.
And two seasons later, we've geeked out about Twilight for many, many hours.
How would you describe Fork and L? What is your format for maybe my listeners who've not heard the show?
We focus on a different book/film each season. So we're two seasons mm-hmm. in now. They're quite short seasons, between 10 and 12 episodes that we've done.
Very British.
Yeah. We start with a watch along. So we're all kind of on the same page. And then after that, it's really just Vic and I picking different themes. And one of them does happen to be Catherine Hardwick Blue, because of course it is.
Really?
Yeah. Different themes to focus on for each episode, but as most podcasts go, we do go off on tangents, and gosh, I was worried that I was going to come here today and not fill enough uh-huh. time, but I remembered we once talked about the possibility of seeing Robert Pattinson in an airport and arguing over a half price neck pillow in a WH Smith's uh-huh. for 45 minutes. So I thought, don't need to worry about that. Honestly, it's just us having a laugh about something that other people, to be honest, would either just roll their eyes out or kind of dismiss, and it's us just enjoying it for what it is. We don't think Twilight is infallible. You know, we love it for its mistakes, for how silly mm-hmm. it can be, but we also love it for all of the joy it's brought us, both when we were teenagers and as we're adults now. So it's all just us having a laugh, really, but doing it by breaking down different bits of the films. And yeah, we're just having a really nice time doing it. And what's been lovely is, I think, in that space between where I wasn't really into Twilight, I didn't realize such a massive community existed online. And of course it does, because everything seems to have a really strong following online, whether it's kind of a new thing or not. And it's been really nice to actually find that and be a teeny tiny part of it, because there's so much love for this series. There's so much great artwork and everything that's created around it. So that's also been nice to find that and realize that, like, the silly things that you think no one's talking about, actually people really care about.
That was an interesting discovery for me too, not to get too deeply into my background with Twilight, but it was not something I was ever interested in when it first came out. And I was never one of those, like, man, Twilight's uncool people. I just knew that it wasn't for me, so I kind of didn't bother. father. And then a few years ago when I started dating my now wife, she's a big fan and continually has, you know, watched and rewatched it over the years. And that's when I learned, watching it with her for the first time, about the online community and how much there is still this huge love and affection for it. But also that, like you said, that Twilight is not infallible. And watching her watch it and appreciate it, as you say, for what it is, really gave me a new understanding of why it was not just big at the time, but is still beloved now.
No, I think that's really nice. And sometimes I think it is important just to kind of sit back and almost watch it through someone else's eyes as well and see what, you know, what's kind of magic about it to them. I think that's a that's a really nice way of coming to it.
I compare the way people watch Twilight now, or at least most people watch Twilight now, to looking at your old high school yearbook, where you do genuinely, you're looking back on these faces and these friends, fondly remembering things, but also like, ooh, why am I wearing that shirt?
Yes.
The strange choices that were made there. Let's get into the actual scene now that we're approximately halfway through the episode. Sometimes, Laura, sometimes there's not much to talk about in the scene, and so I reserve that for people with other interesting things to talk about, as we've done today. Thank you for that. It's Bella and her friends. They're out dress shopping in Port Angeles. That's really the basics of it. Bella's there. She's not that into it. The other two are trying on some dresses. Bella leaves. End of scene. I guess let's get into it now. They are out there. They are prom dress shopping. Is prom a thing in the UK?
Yes, but you know what? It only really came in the... So we had prom in the last year of high school, and it only really came into my high school the year before my last year of high school for me. So I guess it was still quite new when I was a teenager, because that's what we saw in American films. And we thought, you know, oh, wow, we'd love to do things like this. And what's interesting today, I was just having a conversation with a woman that I work with, and she's buying a prom dress for her daughter. And just, wow, how big it is now compared to when I was in high school. It's really become, I think, very, very much what we picture from those American teen movies. I think it has become that in the UK now, with limos and all that stuff. So yes,
it can be a huge deal here in America.
Yeah,
startlingly so. Did you have a prom dress shopping experience like this?
Not like this one. So not with a disinterested friend on the side. No.
Bella, what do you think?
Yes,
looks great.
You said that about like the last five dresses though.
I thought they were all pretty good.
You're not really into this, are you?
I actually really just want to go to this bookstore.
I'm very fussy, but I certainly was no Bella Swan in this. I was probably more of an Angela, I think, in this scene. Just kind of getting on with it.
You were Angela, naming obscure colors.
Yes.
Seems to be most of what she does in this scene is just mention lavender and dusty rose and whatnot.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there are other colors other than blue in this entire movie. Let's list them all now. Let's list the pinks.
I like this one.
Cool.
But, like, I don't know about the one shoulder thing.
I like this one.
Yeah, I like the beading.
And you wouldn't need jewelry.
Jess, what do you think? Lavender? Is that good? Is that my color?
I like it. I like that dusty rose one, too. Okay, I like this one. It makes my boobs look good.
I do quite like this scene, though, because back to what I mentioned just a moment ago with the film, not really it being a fantasy film, but not really feeling like a fantasy film for me at the time. I was very much interested in just the teen love story element of it. And I love that this just feels like a very normal high school kid scene going prom dress shopping.
Yeah.
In some ways, I think when the series went a bit more Hollywood towards the end, you kind of lost that element of it, which is, you know, the lightheartedness of it, the kind of, and I know that they grow up and they, spoilers, get married.
Yeah.
But I do feel like I miss these kind of lighter moments here. And even though not a lot happens, I think it does a very good job of just showing you straight away where Bella is at right now in her mind.
That is true. And I will say, I don't want to jump too far ahead of the scene we're talking about, but the first half of New Moon has a lot of those just sort of high schoolers being high schoolers scenes.
Yeah.
I watched it in a theater about a month or so ago and was really struck by, oh, these are actually like good.
Yeah.
Good jokes, funny scenes of high schoolers being awkward high schoolers. Did your prom have a theme?
No, it didn't. I don't think it quite got that far yet.
Had y'all not figured out prom themes
yet?
No,
we hadn't. It was just, wow, we get dresses. Yay. No, it was very much, it was like a school coach taking us to the, I can't even remember where it was now. That's how exciting it was. Uh-huh. Lots of girls in bridesmaids dress style dresses and very over the top. But I think the rest of it, now we hadn't quite gotten onto themes yet, but I'm sure they exist now.
That's fine.
I would have loved a Twilight theme. I think if that had been around for me at the time, I think something like the end scene of this would make a lovely prom.
Yeah, maybe. I will say, spoilers for much later on in this movie, the prom they go to is very nice and not something you would expect from a high school of Forks size, I would say.
Is that not realistic?
I mean, it's realistic to certain high schools, but just from what I know, having been to Forks, I don't think Forks High School would have something like that. It just looks like a very high budget affair, is all I'll say.
Very jealous you've been to Forks.
You don't have to be that jealous. It's a good time, don't get me wrong, but you can do it all in an afternoon. The drive from Seattle to Forks is beautiful. Forks itself, what they don't tell you, I don't know who would tell you this, there's no signs along the roadway, I guess is what I'm saying.
The way to Twilight.
When you are driving to Forks, they don't warn you that most of Forks in the movie was shot in another town, another larger, sort of more photogenic town.
Right.
So if you go to Forks, Washington, expecting to see certain things from Twilight, you're gonna be disappointed.
Okay.
There are some things there you can see, which are definitely worth seeing, but not as much as you expect.
Maybe not worth the 8-hour flight for me then. Just
maybe not for it. I mean, for us, it was worth the 2 to 3 hour flight. Okay. But for 8 hours, unless you're already in Seattle for another reason and happen to have a day off, don't plan a trip around it, I guess I might say. Or do, I don't know what to tell you. Seattle's lovely. Bella's hanging out. She's not that interested. I cannot quite tell what Bella's doing here. Because she appears to have like a notebook and some loose paper. I don't know if she's drawing or taking notes of something. I genuinely cannot make heads or tails of what she's doing.
I had the same question. I thought, has she noted down the things that she frantically Googled a few scenes ago? Is she just doing some homework? Because we know she's always got a book in her hand, rather than talking to people.
Yes.
It looks like she's just doing anything other than pay attention to her friends, which is very... very characteristic of our Bella, if we're being completely honest.
Yes. And a little sad if we're being completely honest. Yeah. But seriously, try a little bit to make some friends.
You almost feel sorry for Jess in a way, because I think Jess is an equally terrible friend as Bella. And I think at the end, we actually won't get to the end of the scene because we'll get there. But I think that Bella doesn't really give Jess anything back. And it makes me think, fair enough that Jess is so self-absorbed, because you'd have to be to be in that situation.
I know. It's tough for Jessica, for both of them, really, but especially for Anna Kendrick having to be the bubbly one. Both the actor and the character, I guess. There's a lot of heavy lifting going on there in terms of keeping things light that Kristen Stewart / Bella kind of can't reciprocate, which is unfortunate. As you mentioned at the top of the interview, there is some Paramore in this scene. You seem to clock it a lot faster than I did, but is this the song that originally got you interested or no?
No, I have to be controversial. I don't like this song.
Really?
Yeah, and you know what? I could go on for a long time about how great I think the first soundtrack is, and the soundtrack for the second film, actually, but specifically the first one. And that is the thing that I rushed out to buy as soon as possible to get that on CD and play it nonstop in my dad's car. But this song, it's not great. I think there's a couple of songs on this particular soundtrack actually where they're almost a bit out of place, and this one feels that way.
Okay.
I'm not too sure what I would have put there instead, but it's the I have to laugh because my sister and I obviously went to the cinema to watch this film for this specific song, and the song we wanted doesn't happen till the end of the credits. So.
And this song is quiet. It's almost like this song is not so much in the movie, it's like it's almost like it's playing through the speakers of the store.
Yeah.
I honestly did not even notice it until you mentioned in your email to me Paramore, and I thought, what does this scene have to do with Paramore? And then I listened very closely. Seems like a weird thing to just sort of quietly hide away.
Yeah, I think that was just my Paramore radar going off. Like, oh, where's Paramore?
Clearly, a lot stronger than mine.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's an okay song, but it feels like a forgotten album track that it was just like, well, we've got Paramore here. Why not add another song in? Because we need to fill the gap.
Sure.
It doesn't feel that special.
Yeah, you know, there's just so much not else going on in this scene. There are some guys who walk by the window and harass the girls a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, I like this one. It makes my boobs look good. Right? Oh, God. That is uncomfortable.
Oh, it's disgusting.
I'm assuming those are the same guys that show up in a few minutes to surround Bella in the parking lot.
I think they are, because I think they might make reference to that, like, I saw you in the store or something. I think they do.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and Bella's reaction is kind of perfect, because I think back to when I was 17, that's exactly how I would react. Mm-hmm. Very awkward, very, like, it's quite quite offensive, but you don't really know how to act. So you just sort of go, ugh, boy, it's horrible.
Right.
But, yeah, it feels very natural, but also just goes to show you that Bella is almost like she's not open to anything at this portion in her life except for Edward. She just doesn't have time for any of it. But yeah, it is pretty horrible, and I'm pretty sure they are the horrible people in a couple of scenes' time. But you are right, there's not an awful lot going on there, but I still think, even though there's not an awful lot, it does convey just how much Bella is just absorbed with the whole Edward of it all.
It does.
All the scene is for is just Bella just wants to get to the bookshop. That's the typing, the sitting on the bench in the last episode. It was all just to get to the bookstore and to use her friends in the process.
That's one thing I've noticed as I've gone through this movie now, 30 scenes and just a little over 30 minutes, is just how much of a movie, especially early on, it doesn't really contain a lot in and of itself. It's just sort of there to get you from one place to the next. And this is one of those scenes that's just sort of moving us. Bella was on the computer. We need to get her to the bookstore. We need to show why she's in that area, I guess. Much like we have these guys who are just sort of walking through. We would, and maybe that's a little less necessary. I feel like if they were to show up later, we wouldn't, like, it's only if you watch this movie very closely that you realize those are the same guys. I don't think anyone would recognize them and be like, aha, it's the guys from the dress store. And furthermore, I think if they weren't in this scene at all, when they did show up later, you wouldn't be like, where did these people come? It's a city.
Creeps can come from anywhere, so it's fine. Yeah,
they absolutely can come from anywhere. And that's the cautionary tale for this. The words of wisdom as we wrap up this episode. Creeps can come from anywhere. So keep your head on a swivel out there. Let's start to wrap things up here. Laura, if you had to give this scene a name, what would it be? And this will also be the name of the episode, so make it good.
Oh, I definitely should have thought of this answer beforehand.
You knew enough about the Bluebell.
I know.
You also should have known this was coming.
I know. And you know what? I'm a journalist and I'm rubbish at titles. So
Great.
Oh my gosh, I don't know. Prom dress pals. I don't know.
Prom dress pals. Normally, I might ask why, what made you think of that? This one's pretty straightforward. They're pals. They're getting prom dresses.
Sorry.
It makes perfect sense to me.
But it's good. Still layered, because she's not a pal. She's not a very good pal at all. So makes you think.
Laura, this is leaps and bounds better than last episode's title, which was so long and disjointed and unwieldy. Prom dress pals is wonderful.
It sounds like a Nintendo DS game. It really does.
It kind of does. It sounds like something my little sister would have played on some sort of Flash website in 2005 or something.
Well, I apologize.
No, don't. It's wonderful. I love it. You've been a fantastic guest. If people want to find out more about you and the things you do and maybe the podcast that you host, where can they do that on social media and whatnot?
So we're on Instagram at ForkinElPod.
How do you spell that? Is there an H by any chance?
There is no H in it. We're strictly, and Joe, I'm saying it's Northern. Vic's not even Northern, but ForkinElPod on Instagram. We're not on Twitter anymore, so you can just find us purely on Instagram, and you can search for the podcast on our usual podcast places. As I said earlier, we have wrapped up season 2 now, but we will be coming back to focus on Eclipse probably later this year. So if you want to go back and listen to the episodes we've done already, including us talking about Robert Pattinson in an airport, that's up to you. Please feel free.
Absolutely. What about you personally? Anything you want to promote?
Not really. I am still on Twitter my sins. I don't really know why, but so you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Leonora. So I'm a technology writer in my normal everyday life when I'm not talking about Twilight and geeking out about film and video games and stuff like that. So that's about me, really. And Lara Croft.
I did do a little bit of Twitter stalking on you in preparation for this. And I got to say, if you want to learn about 3D printing. Follow Laura Griffiths on Twitter.
Thank you.
If you want to learn about the movie Twilight, you can follow this show on Twitter. Not really. I have a Twitter that I don't use much like you do. Instagram, though, at bitesizedpod_. I've also, just within the last few days, really started putting my nose to the grindstone and uploading stuff onto YouTube and TikTok. So if you want to see short little clips, some of my favorite moments from past episodes, go follow the show on YouTube and or TikTok. Once again, that's at bitesizedpod_. If you want to send an email to the show, you can send an email. I need to apologize now because I don't know how you're going to react to this, but this is awkward. You can send an email to myfavoritetwilightpodcast @gmail.com. So sorry. I tried to find an email address with bite-sized or something like that in the name, and they were all taken. So I got mad and made it a full sentence that I now realize there's other Twilight podcasts out there. I'm sorry.
Ours is your second favorite Twilight podcast @gmail.com.
You can go claim that one for Fork and Al if you want to. It's a hyperbolic email address. I admit that. Thank you so much to the band Swimwear Department for letting me use their song Mauled to Death as our theme. Thank you to my good friend Ben Oxer for editing this show. That is it. That is all the time we have for today. As we always say at the end of every episode.
What am I saying? What am I saying?
Anything. Anything. Anything at all. First thing comes to your mind. Anything at all.
Thanks.
Thanks. That's it. That's what we say. Have a good one. See you next time.
You're not really into this, are you?